is perhaps surprising at this late stage of the presidential primary process is that the Pennsylvania primary is not expected to be make or break for either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Joining us to discuss the current state of the presidential campaign is Mark Hetherington, an associate professor of political science at Vanderbilt. Mark, can you give some insight into what the voters in Pennsylvania are like, if you could set the scene for us, so to speak, on what to expect with the approaching primary?
Well, Pennsylvania is an endlessly interesting state. James Carville, I think, probably nails it as well as anybody when he describes it as Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Alabama in between. You have the eastern part of the state, which is a very sophisticated, Philadelphia-bound part of the state with a significant minority population. You have the center of the state, which is the Alabama part. That's actually where I'm from originally. It's anchored in Harrisburg, but it's very rural, beautiful rolling hills, probably more cows than people. And then in the western part of the state, you have Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh is different from Philadelphia in many respects. And the other sort of major population center in the western part of the state is Erie. It's a much smaller city than Pittsburgh. But they're similar in that they're both strongly white working class, a lot of people who worked in the steel industry back when the steel industry was king, or the coal industry, and have fallen on harder times. It's actually going to be, a significantly less helpful part of the state for Senator Obama, probably will be a stronger base of support for Senator Clinton.
From what I've read, Senator Obama's key strength is in Philadelphia and then also the non-white voters.
Mm-hmm. And the key to Philadelphia is both the high percentage of African-American voters in the city, but also in the ring suburbs around Philadelphia, which used to be rock-ribbed Republican territory, Montgomery County and Chester County and places like that. Those are now affluent Democratic suburbs, starting in about 1992. Bill Clinton ran very strongly there. Democratic Senate candidate started to do very well in those ring suburbs. And that's where Obama's going to do extraordinarily well. And if he has any hope of winning the state, he's going to have to pile up huge vote totals there. He's obviously, as an African-American, has done remarkably well among African-Americans in the primaries up until now. But the other group, the other constituency that he's done extraordinarily well with is upper-educated, affluent white voters. And to the extent that you find those in Pennsylvania, and there are less of them, say, in Pennsylvania than you would find in a state like Virginia or Maryland, where Obama did very well among white voters, they're going to be in those ring suburbs of Philadelphia, the old mainline suburbs.
Has Pennsylvania voted Democratic in the general election the past several times?
Well, Pennsylvania is a fascinating state in that it's considered a blue state by most as far as presidential elections are concerned. Clinton won in both 1992 and in 1996. Gore won in 2000 and of course, Kerry won in 2004. But all of those elections were remarkably close. And if you look below the presidential level at other statewide races, Republicans actually tend to do quite well there, especially the kinds of Republicans like John McCain is, a moderate or at least perceived as a moderate Republican. So you have a guy like Arlen Specter, who's been the senator from Pennsylvania since the 1980s. He is a Philadelphia guy. But has a relatively moderate voting record, and Pennsylvanians tend to go for him. Before that, there was Dick Thornburgh, who was a very successful two-term governor of Pennsylvania, another Republican. More recently, there was Tom Ridge, another successful two-term governor who left his post as governor of Pennsylvania to be the first Secretary of Homeland Security. He's from Erie. Moderate to liberal Republicans have always done well, all the way back really to the 1950s. The first of them really was a fellow named Bill Scranton, who ran for president in 1964. Ray Schaefer, another Republican, was elected in the 1960s. Hugh Scott and Richard Schweiker were two moderate senators. John Hines, another Republican moderate senator. So you see, actually, in these statewide races, Republicans advantaged over Democrats below the presidential level.
Most of these Republicans were moderate Republicans.
Almost all of them. The only person that I can think of as an outlier really is Rick Santorum. Santorum won the Senate seat in 1994 in Pennsylvania. And of course, he was a firebrand conservative known for his position on social issues, especially abortion. But the person he defeated was actually an atypically weak candidate that year. And of course, 1994 was a great year for Republicans. And the person he defeated was Harris Wofford, who was in that Senate seat largely because he inherited it from John Hines after Hines' death. And he held the seat in a special election in other atypical circumstances. But when Santorum faced a very strong opponent, that was Robert Casey's son, Robert Casey Jr., Casey beat him badly in 2006. So generally speaking, hardcore conservatives don't run well in Pennsylvania.
Will this be a good referendum on how the economy will impact the election in November as far as is Pennsylvania experiencing a lot of the downturn?
Oh, absolutely. Pennsylvania is a state that's consistently above the median as far as unemployment is concerned. And to the extent that 2008 looks like a state that economic weakness will be part of the narrative, certainly that's going to work to the Democrats' advantage. But of course, a big question is who the Democratic nominee is going to be. It seems that at least the Democrats in Pennsylvania are going to be a little bit more comfortable with Hillary Clinton than they might be with Barack Obama. Of course, things can change in the coming days and weeks. It's going to be, how the economy plays is also going to have something to do with who the Democratic nominee is. And as I mentioned before, John McCain is the kind of Republican that Pennsylvanians have voted for. And if they're dissatisfied with who the Democratic alternative is, he is exactly the kind of person that Pennsylvanians could select.
Now, if Obama would win in Pennsylvania, does that seem like that would be a signal that Hillary Clinton would get out?
Well, it's an interesting question to know whether she would get out. If Obama wins Pennsylvania, her candidacy is effectively done. You can stick a fork in her. She's done. There's no chance, unless some revelation comes up between then and the convention, that would derail his candidacy at that point. She really has to essentially run the table of states that she has the capacity to win. So Pennsylvania is the largest of them. It's the most central of them. She'll have to run well in Kentucky and Indiana, states that are actually in some ways like Pennsylvania. So if she loses any of those, it's over. Whether she gets out of the race is another story. And I think that's a question that she is in many ways answered in the negative. She's, I think, unlikely to get out, even if she does lose Pennsylvania. People have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in her campaign and lots of time and effort and energy. And I don't think that one bad result is necessarily going to be something that ends it. My sense is that she may well stick around hoping for that revelation that comes out about Obama that opens the door and allows her to walk through again. So we'll just have to see. And of course, it also depends on the circumstances as well. I think one could even argue that if Obama's within 5 percentage points of Clinton in Pennsylvania, that's a victory for him. But that's not going to get Clinton to step aside either.
Now, Pennsylvania is a closed primary system, correct?
Yes.
How will that perhaps affect the outcome different from other states where it's open?
Well, one of the things that has been clear all the way through the primary season is that Obama runs best in open primary states where independents can participate and until recently, at least, where Republicans could cross over and vote. So the more open the primary system, the better Obama's done. Pennsylvania's a closed primary state, and that limits the electorate to only registered Democrats in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania has some of the more strict registration rules. So you have to be actually registered to vote at least a month in advance as a Democrat in order to participate. That's going to be a more rock-ribbed, old-style, hardcore, less affluent, downscale group of people. And those are people who Clinton runs better with than some of the more affluent folks who might be inclined to register as an independent as opposed to as a Democrat. So the primary system is one that's, in this particular case, something that plays to Clinton's strengths and Obama's weaknesses.
And as far as the Republicans, since McCain already is the presumptive nominee, I guess he's not campaigning there. And do the Republicans even vote?
Sure. They can go and vote if they want to. as is the case with any of these things. You get on the ballot long in advance of the actual contest, but certainly Republican turnout will lag Democratic turnout because it's not a serious contest. I know that my parents, who are both staunch Republicans, will turn out for the opportunity to vote for McCain just because they feel it's their civic duty. And, you know, one thing that I think is probably worth noting about, you know, the nature of this particular race is just how high voter turnout has been in the Democratic primaries all the way through. There does seem to be tremendous enthusiasm about both of the Democratic nominees, not necessarily the fact that all people are excited about both of them, but at least a lot of people are excited about at least one of them.
I know you've done a lot of research on polarization between the parties. And I'm curious, how about the polarization within the Democratic Party? Will that affect turnout in the November election? Will it hurt them? Or I know Hillary Clinton has said that, no, we're all going to come together and be one united party once this is over.
One of the things that actually helps the Democrats' cause in terms of healing these rifts between the Clinton and Obama supporters is the fact that the parties are so far apart ideologically these days. And that's absolutely true. It's not just a sense that people have. The average Republican in Congress is more different from the average Democrat in Congress now than we've seen in really about 100 years. If the parties are that far apart in terms of what they're promising to provide the public with, you can get over maybe some of these personal problems that have arisen during the course of the primary. We know all Democrats know that Obama's a good left-of-center candidate, Clinton's a good left-of-center candidate, and they're going to be facing off against a party that they view as being overly extreme. With that said, you know, some of the differences that divide Democrats these days will be difficult to get over. You know, the relevant cleavage seems to be about things like race and things like gender, which people feel very strongly about. You have Obama supporters at least thinking in the back of their mind that Clinton supporters are racists, and you have Clinton supporters at least thinking in the backs of their minds that Obama supporters are sexist. The fact that they're running against a relatively moderate candidate, at least for the Republicans in this day and age, John McCain, probably complicates things for the Democrats further. But still, Democrats are desperate to win the White House again after 8 years of the Bush administration, and my sense is they'll probably do a reasonable job putting that behind them.
It was interesting because when McCain was looking like he was going to get it, there were some conservative Republicans that said they were going to go vote for Hillary, or just they would never vote for McCain. But now that seems to have died down.
Yeah, Ann Coulter, for one, you know, the most conservative of the conservative commentators, said that she would vote for Hillary Clinton instead of John McCain, and she certainly hasn't said that recently. And I think that that's just the healing process that takes place in politics. You hope that it's somebody else, maybe, but once the rest of the people have chosen a candidate different from the one maybe you preferred, you can get over it and the party comes back together. But it's a healing process. It's something that takes time. And I think it also points up some of the advantages that the Republicans have enjoyed, at least in this and the rules that the Republican Party has in the nomination of candidates. This election season and really all election seasons, they have a process that allows their candidate to knock the other candidate out relatively quickly because their primaries tend to be winner-take-all as opposed to proportional representation, which is the course for all of the Democratic primaries. So McCain is the nominee by March, which is exactly the way the process is designed to work. And the Democrats, of course, have a process that's different, and it's going to challenge them to get over their problems within the party, whereas the Republicans will have that all behind them.
Mark Hetherington is an associate professor of political science at Vanderbilt. For Interview, I'm Amory Dear Owens.